listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Fortunately, when you look at it through the eyes of the Greek language and study and Greek grammar, Spiros Zodiades, the author of Keyword Study Bible and one of my great sources for understanding the Greek language, says that these must be viewed in a progressive sense. And if you understand the words, you read this as, blessed are those who are desperately in need of God. Blessed are those who are mourning the effects of their sin. Blessed are those who suddenly get angry at sin and decide to do something about it. Blessed are those who are merciful and looking around and not being judgmental because everyone's dealing with their own issues. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness because now we want to do it God's way. And in the process, blessed are the pure of heart. A process is going on where we're being transformed. We are that new creation that God has created when we received Him and His Holy Spirit. And as a result, we have peace with God. And now we are compelled, just because of this, to share it with the people around us. So understanding the Beatitudes in a progressive sense helps me realize this is my own process to becoming a follower of Jesus. My desperate need of Him that results in a chain reaction in me of dealing with sin issues and having His power and transformation overtake me.
All right.
Then we came to this next section, you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt in biblical culture gives a meaning of loyalty, faithfulness, unoffendable relationships. Light is defined as service to the people around us, to random acts of kindness. And I believe what Jesus is telling us is the first step toward really reaching out to the world is for us to be known as loyal, faithful friends who are other-centered and are looking out for the needs of the people around us. And actually, when we do that, when we are those people, people take notice. And they begin asking us, what is that that you have? And I've often experienced this. Whatever it is you got, I think I need that. So this should be the lifestyle of a follower of Jesus, loyal, faithful, unoffendable friendships, who's looking out for the needs of the people around him. And now we come down to Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus is going to now help us understand how we are to read and understand the Scriptures. So, Rhett, what do you think about all of that?
I think that I'm going to read Matthew 5:17.
Okay, give it a shot.
All right. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.
Wow, what a statement.
Yeah.
Listen to what Jesus is actually saying. If we analyze this passage, Jesus tells the audience and tells us that the Hebrew Scriptures have permanent validity to everyone in the kingdom of God, and that they should be taught and obeyed by the children of the kingdom, and that entrance into heaven is dependent on an inner state of righteousness reflected in the teaching of the Hebrew Scriptures.
Well, now, I understand down here, he says to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes, and that's because the kingdom of God has not come yet. The kingdom of God is about to come after he pays the price on the cross. Then the kingdom of God is here, and that means anybody that comes to know the Lord after his resurrection, obviously their righteousness exceeds that of the the scribes and the Pharisees. But at the beginning, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Like many people, that confuses me a little. If you could expound on that.
Well, this is, I think, really important that we New Testament Christians, as we often call ourselves, really understand that what Jesus is saying is the whole Word of God is very important for us to read, to meditate on, and to understand, and that the Scriptures should be taught and obeyed by us, and they reflect God's morality and His righteousness, which is, in fact, going to be a standard for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you point out very well that when Jesus goes to the cross, that now it's His righteousness. But I think the question that we have here in our culture is, well, wait a minute, I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm under grace and not under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And these words are spoken often when it comes to studying the Hebrew Scriptures. In fact, if I opened your Bible and thumbed through the pages, I would notice the last third of the Bible, the New Testament, would be well-worn, and probably the first two-thirds might still have some pages stuck together because they've never been separated, because we focus on our New Testament, our Christian Scriptures. And so a lot of people say, well, we're not under the law. We don't really need to read the Hebrew Scriptures because the Old Testament is obsolete and it's out of date. And often Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13 is quoted. And he said, a new covenant, and he's made the first one obsolete, but whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. So now let's ask the question, who is this book of the Hebrews to? Who's it to? Who's it written to?
Well, not Hebrews. You mean
book of Hebrews that I just quoted here. The writer is writing to the Hebrews, right? He's writing to Jewish believers. And what is the issue as you read Hebrews is, well, Jesus first spoke through the fathers, then he spoke through the prophets, now he's speaking through Jesus. And Jesus died once and for all on the cross for our sins, and there's no need to go back and do that again. And so Jewish believers who at the time were going to the temple daily to offer their sacrifices, the writer Hebrews says, you don't need to do that. That portion of the Scriptures is obsolete because Jesus took care of that on the cross. And in fact, historically, within a decade or two of the writing of these words, Titus came with a 13 legion. Rome came and sent their army to quell the Jewish rebellion, and they destroyed the temple, and there's not been a sacrifice since then. Okay? So, do not think I came to abolish the law. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Now, did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? Well, of course, many of them he did. And perhaps maybe this is why we focus our study on the New Testament and we forsake the Hebrew Scriptures. But I think the key word here to understand this often confusing statement is the word fulfill, which is the word plero'o, P-L-E-R-O-O. And according to the biblical languages in Semitic domains, in Matthew 5:17, plero'o can mean to fill out, to complete, to make perfect, but in this particular passage, it means to give true meaning. So Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law of the prophets. I came to give them true meaning. And in fact, this is what he's going to be doing in this next section of the Sermon on the Mount. So even though we might look at the Hebrew Scriptures as old and out of date, Jesus is saying they're very valid and we should pay attention to them. We should study them, meditate on them, because they are part of God's revelation to us. Now, Rhett, there's actually, I think, three ways that we can look at these Hebrew sacred scriptures. There's one view, and this all comes from John Stott and Alex Mulcher in a book that I read years ago called The Old Testament. These are very mainline theologians, very, very good guys to read and study. They say that the theonomic view is one way that we look at the Hebrew Scriptures, and this view says that all the laws are still in effect and they must be obeyed by the reader. And, Red, I've worked with Jewish Christian believers in Israel, and these are friends that I have worked with. We've sat and had lunch and discussed these things. They believe that as Jews and followers of the Messiah, they should fulfill and obey the laws as best they can, especially those ones that say, do these to all, in all your generations. Obviously, they're not able to obey the sacrificial laws since the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. The second approach is the cultural approach, which says that the laws all belong to their day and have nothing to do with our lives today. Now, one of my friends told me a funny story. Her name is Robin, and she had a boyfriend named Matt. And Matt was, at the time, was a drug dealer, and they were engaged in a relationship. And Matt, in the process of that, became a Christian. And so after he became a Christian, they stopped having sex. Matt said, we're not having sex anymore. And she said, why not? And he said, because I'm a Christian now. And she said, well, I'm a Christian. He said, you are? And she said, yeah. And he said, well, how come we've been having sex? Because what I read in the Bible says you can't have sex outside of marriage. And she said, no, it's okay to have sex. He said, go ask your pastor. So Robin went and talked to her pastor, and she said, my boyfriend said that we shouldn't have sex until we're married because this is what the Bible says. Her pastor said, now, Robin, you know, back in those days, they wore sandals and they rode camels, and we're not riding camels and wearing sandals, are we? Those laws were for that time, and now our culture has changed, and of course, you can have sex with your boyfriend. Well, Red, I've taken a few camel trips through the Negev, and I've ridden camels. I often wear sandals, and many of my friends here in Vero Beach and my friends in Hawaii wear sandals.
Yeah.
So this is this cultural approach says all those laws are out of date and no longer applicable. And so Robin went back and told Matt, my pastor said it's okay for us to have sex. And
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Red Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Into the Holy of Holies, into the place where kings take off their crowns. We're overwhelmed by the weight of your glory. You're lifted higher as every knee bows down. We're singing holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We're singing holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Everything changes here in your presence. Nothing can stand.